So Donna joins us today from the Pandas Foundation. So first of all, tell me what Pandas stands for.
Pandas is pre and postnatal advice and support.
Brilliant. So whereabouts are you based?
Our group is based in Fleet, but the charity is actually a national charity. So it covers the whole of England, Scotland and Wales. And they have a whole range of services from a telephone helpline, face-to-face groups. We've actually just started a new text service, which is a 24-hour text service in partnership with a big nappy brand. And they basically are helping us fund real people at the end of the phone. So in the middle of the night, once a helpline's finished, if you've woken up at 3 a.m, baby's crying, you're sitting there and just thinking, I can't handle this, you can text and somebody will reply. So you're not on your own. And that is a 24-hour service.
Donna, why did you get involved with Pandas?
I got involved with Pandas after the birth of my son back in 2017. I had a number of complications. My son was IVF, so I was already kind of at risk. And I basically, you know, went downhill pretty rapidly. And probably about 3 or 4 months after the birth of my son, I got to a dark place where I was trying to drive my car into a tree. And so they decided that I needed a little bit more intervention. And I ended up being admitted to a mother and baby unit in Winchester, where I was there for 5 weeks. And the team there were amazing. They have a massive team of, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, nursery teams who are there with you and your baby. The baby stays with you. And they give you the help and support that you need to be able to get back on your feet.
Why do you think you came to that position?
A combination of postnatal depression, complex post-traumatic stress disorder because of a number of things that I went through during the pregnancy and during the birth and afterwards as well. I was unlucky that a number of things happened and it just triggered something in me. And you know, the thing with perinatal mental health is that it's hormone based as well. And so, you know, it's out of your control. you're sitting there one day and you just think, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's a really dark place. And so, you know, there are services out there and it is getting better in regards to awareness and support. But, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done.
So you're finding that there was no one there. Friends and family weren't being able to help you.
They just didn't understand. And it's just a complete feeling of emptiness and just sitting there thinking, what am I doing? And then you get intrusive thoughts. You get to a point where the psychosis kicks in. And I remember laying there in bed trying to sleep and I couldn't. And then I looked at the window and I saw someone climb through the window and walk across the room to go to get to my son. Oh. And that's at the point at which they decided, obviously, that I needed some help because my mind was playing tricks on me. It wasn't real, but obviously for me, it was petrifying.
So you were in really a dark space, weren't you?
Yeah. To go in the mother and baby unit, you have to be, you know, really, really in a dark place. There are many stages before that. You have, obviously, once you're discharged from hospital, you have your midwife, you have the health visitors, and there are lots of help, you know, there's lots of help from them in identifying women that are starting to struggle. And so they can then signpost you to your GP, to things like Talk Plus, any kind of charity or support where you can get CBT, etc., to help you get through it.
So looking back now, and you possibly might see other people going through something similar, what would you suggest?
The thing to do is try not to relate what they are going through to something you've been through, because unless you've been through it, you won't understand it. The best thing to do is to support them and just say, I'm here for you. What do you want me to do? Just talk to me and just listen to them. And when they say something's really bad, just sit with that notion and say, yeah, it is. Because sometimes literally just saying that makes them think, oh, someone's listening to me.
Right. Okay. I get you. So Pandas came into your life.
Yeah. I was on social media on Facebook and I saw a post and I just thought, that resonates. There's something about this that kind of jumps out at me. So I did a bit more research on them, and they were advertising for people to volunteer on the helpline. And I got in touch. They kind of go through your background. So yeah, they provide you with a lot of training. So you go through safeguarding, perinatal mental health, stillbirth, which obviously is quite a sensitive subject for parents if that happens, so that you are able to take calls and be armed with the right skills and experience to support them through it. If you find that you have somebody on the phone that needs more help, we will then signpost to the relevant authorities or support and make sure that they get the support they need.
Are you finding as well lots of people that are involved with Pandas, for instance, because now do you volunteer for Pandas?
I do volunteer for Pandas. I do a couple of hours a week. It's not much, but between the helpline, there's a massive group of us that cover the hours, which is 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. And if we can swap shifts or help people out, we always do. If people phone and they can't get through, we have a callback service as well. So I try and help out as much as I can, and including the helpline, I obviously now do a face-to-face group.
Now then, obviously, possibly, you might have found there was an increase when we had the pandemic, for instance.
Massive increase. So a lot of women have really struggled having children during COVID, you know, the population of COVID babies. So it's not just, you know, difficult for the parents, it's difficult for the children too, because they've not had that social integration of being able to go out to mother and baby groups and see your NCT group or whoever it might be. And you've got these parents that are sitting at home isolated with a newborn thinking what was going on. And so, yeah, the numbers did definitely go up, and we're still seeing a high number. That knock-on effect, I think, is going to be seen for quite a while.
Because obviously no one could go out at one time. You were just completely on your own, I suppose.
Absolutely. And, you know, if their partners were working, they'd be in a study and they'd be left on their own in the house. You know, parents can't come over, family, friends can't come over to help them. So they really were kind of dropped in the deep end with it. And yeah, as a result, we saw an increase in numbers.
So you must have lots of success stories in your time of when you're on the end of the phone, for instance. It's a sense of relief, isn't it?
It is. Sometimes you'll answer the phone and you will have a mother in complete hysterics, crying. You know, you can hear the baby crying in the background. She's just pleading for help, saying, "I don't know what to do. Help me. I can't do this anymore." And then, you know, over the space of sometimes a conversation's 20 minutes, sometimes it can be an hour and a half. You don't know what you're going to get on each call. But by the end of it, you've calmed them down enough. You've tried to give them kind of an approach to follow. You've given them some actions that they can follow, maybe talk to their GP, maybe get more help from friends and family. Because 9 times out of 10, you know, we're kind of brought up now to, you know, do everything ourselves. You know, we should be able to look after a child. It should be fine. I shouldn't ask for any help. And people are like, "Oh, I can't ask for help. People will think I'm being a burden." You're not being a burden. And 9 times out of 10, people want to help, but we just, you know, we're assumptive as a nation in that we think that people are just going to say, "No, do it yourself."
Mm.
So by the end of that call, they're a lot calmer. They kind of have some kind of idea of how to approach it. But I always say to them as well, it's like, look, we're here all the time. If you need to phone back, you phone back. You could talk to somebody else in the team, whoever's on the helpline at that point, but you're always going to have someone there to talk to. So don't worry, you're not on your own. And I think that kind of reassurance really helps. And they hopefully go away feeling a little bit calmer. They always say thank you. And yeah, you feel like you've helped, which is the main point of doing it, really.
I think it's that relaxing, calm kind of state that as long as they go away, kind of a little bit more happy, yeah, and relaxed, for instance.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, occasionally you do get a call where you have to refer them from a safeguarding point of view or just to make sure that they're okay. But that's what we're there for. So, you know, if we have to then say, look, I'm going to go and speak to somebody else and we're going to phone you back and, you know, we're going to help you out, then we'll do it.
So as a volunteer for Pandas, what do you get out of it?
For me, it is knowing that somebody who is in such a dark place as what I was has some support there. because I never knew about pandas when I was poorly. And it's just giving something back to the community in that I spent a good 2 or 3 years having help from my GP, from the midwives, from the health visitors, from the mother and baby unit. You know, I've taken my chunk out of the NHS perinatal health support. So I'm giving back now and helping out.
So do you all meet up socially when you can as well?
We don't at the moment, just because obviously we're kind of at that tail end of COVID and the restrictions. But there is talk of trying to make local pockets of, you know, let's go out for dinner and let's see everyone. But we have regular Zoom calls, and for the team leaders that do the face-to-face groups, we have a call with them. We have WhatsApp groups, so my phone doesn't stop. It's constantly going. So we're in regular contact and we support each other, because sometimes you can do a call and it can be a trigger for you. And that can be quite difficult. And mum will say something and it will just hit you. Then you just think, oh my God, I remember feeling like that. It's really, really bad. But then pandas have things in place, people to talk to, for the people who volunteer. So, you know, you're not just kind of taking the brunt of it. You can then speak to somebody as well. So it's very good setup.
So if you wanted to volunteer for pandas, obviously you look for more and more volunteers all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the helpline, we're always looking for new volunteers. And, you know, anybody who has the ability to do a face-to-face group, then yeah, it's great, because, you know, we've got a number of them around the UK at the moment, but we can always do with more. At the end of the day, if we can say to a mum, look, there's a group down the road, come down, come and see us, you know, that's a great thing to be able to offer. So yeah, you know, if anybody can offer that time, then fantastic.
So how do you kind of keep this going then as an organisation?
So it is a charity. We do a lot of fundraising. We do a lot of partnerships with big corporates if we can. And a lot of details can be found on the website. But definitely everybody who volunteers, you know, we don't get paid. We give up our time for free to help.
You're an institution.
Yes.
A treasure, as they would say. A treasure, Donna. So if anyone wanted to join Pandas, and website details, please.
Yeah. So the website is pandasfoundation.org.uk. And everything on there, from what we do, what we're about, where these face-to-face groups are, how you get in touch, everything can be found on that website.
Excellent. Donna, thank you for spreading the word.
No problem. Thank you.